So I haven't been live and in person since December the 12th. I'm liable to jump all over the auditorium this morning. But anyway, I do have a word this morning that I believe came directly to me from the living God. And so we're going to continue our discussion of what we talked about last week. Sermon title, Have You Received the Grace Vaccination? Have you received the Grace Vaccination Part 2? A lot of talk going on now about getting vaccinated. I'll say it again. I'm for vaccinations if it'll keep you from dying and it's working. Go ahead and get vaccinated. But the greatest vaccination you can receive, and the vaccination that'll guarantee you what you need for all of eternity, is the grace vaccination. Now, anybody that's been involved with this ministry any length of time knows that one of the ways that God speaks to me is through the Word, directly through Scripture verses. And so I started going this direction last week via Zoom, and that was so cool, by the way. I just want to tell you how cool that was. And I began to meditate this week on it because I know that there's something I want to get at. There's something I want to share with people. Because one of the things that I will continue to say over and over and over and over is that the level of knowledge relative to God in our world and also in the church is terrible. It's terrible what people don't know about God. And what you don't know will kill you. Can I get an amen? What you don't know will kill you. And so I was really seeking him this week and trying to get some direction to how to really show you what I'm trying to do and show you how to really learn how to divide this book. This is a big, thick old book. James got me, James bought this for me, my favorite Bible ever. Giant print or big. How many of y'all like the font on that? Man, I like the font. Yeah, and the other thing is I like about it is it doesn't have anybody else's opinion down underneath of it. It's just God's word and me. And anyway, it's a big, I mean, would you agree that this is a pretty good sized book and there's a lot of stuff in it? Do you know that? Do you know there's a lot of stuff in this book? I wasn't going to go here, but I am going to go here anyway. 2 Timothy 2:15. Old King James uses a word that nobody likes, absolutely nobody. Old King James uses the word, instead of be diligent, it uses the word study. Mine and Shane's favorite word, isn't it? Study. Study to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, listen to me now, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly, everybody say rightly.
Rightly.
Say rightly. So if it says rightly, it could be wrongly, right? He wouldn't tell you rightly if it couldn't be wrongly. Rightly dividing the word of truth. And I'm gonna submit to you that first of all, there's several classes of people. I shared this with the Bible study class on Wednesday night, but one of the things we did while we were home is we played trivia. And most of it was secular trivia. By the way, my wife is spectacular at trivia. This week again, you know what the Lord told me? You know what he said to me? He said, keep telling people what you know. Just keep telling people what you know. That's what I want you to do, is keep telling people what you know, and I'll keep telling you some things to tell people, to tell them what I told you. And so this week, I was thinking about how we were talking about grace and the law and how it's not been rightly divided. And so I was meditating on it, and the Lord spoke these words into my mind. He spoke these words into my mind. What is your reading of it? These were the words. What is your reading of it? And I got to thinking about that, and I realized that's a text in the Bible. Full disclosure, I didn't have it memorized. I didn't know exactly where it was, so I Googled it. Me and Joe Biden do have something in common. He wants you to Google about vaccinations. He couldn't Google a Google. But anyway, so I knew that was a scripture verse, and the word that came to me was, what is your reading of it? And so I Googled it, and I found out it's in Luke chapter 10. So remember now, remember that we're talking about, I believe, the most egregious thing that's going on in the church is the inability to rightly divide God's Word. Now, the most egregious thing of all is the fact that most people don't even know anything about God. And let me tell you something. This Bible is the only place you're going to go to find out about the true and living God. The God that made all of us. This is the book that's going to reveal to you the God, the true and living God. So I Googled the verse, and I got over here, and I'm telling you, this is an amazing encounter that the Lord Jesus Christ had with a man. And I want to just start reading it. And then I'm going to go from here. I don't know how long we'll spring from this verse, but, and behold, here it is, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Really, really good question. Amen? Isn't that a good question? Because eternal life is life forever, right? Long life, forever. "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Now look at verse 26. This is fascinating. This is in red. These words are in red. You can't tell that from what we got up here. But if you have a red letter edition of your Bible, this is actually Jesus replying to the man. He said to him, Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" That's where the word came into my mind. How are you reading it? What is your reading of it? What's your reading of the law? Jesus asked this lawyer, this man, "What's your reading of the law?" Now I'm going to tell you, the answer this guy gives is phenomenal. It is phenomenal. And here's what he tells him in verse 27. Watch this. Here's what he tells him. "So he answered and said," this is the man replying back to Jesus. Remember, the original question the man asked is, "What do I do to get eternal life?" Jesus asked him another question and says, "Well, how do you interpret the law? What's the law tell you? What's the law tell you you got to do to inherit eternal life?" You with me? Basically, isn't this cool? What a conversation. Now listen to what this man says back. This is a flawed man. And notice what his answer back to Jesus is. "So he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart." Boy, I want to just get real religious when I read this. You know, I almost want to do it in Latin. "So he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Woo! I've been in some churches where they'd be standing up and we'd be waving white handkerchiefs at you and say, "Preach it, brother!" Yet, you want to know something? I'm going to get ahead of myself. You want to know something? That verse right there has sunk more people and condemned more people and caused more people to turn away from God. Because I got some news for you, because I have read the rest of the book. Because if you notice in my Bible, Luke's somewhere in here. Let me just find it. Luke's in here. And some of y'all read Luke all through the Christmas season, didn't you? Do you know Luke's right in here? But you know there's some more stuff behind Luke. And do you know if you don't read the stuff behind Luke, that verse of scripture right there is going to hang you. You know it's going to hang you? You know why it's going to hang you? Because you can't do it. Right. Oh, don't shout me down now. All the handkerchiefs went down. All the handkerchiefs went down. False prophet. False teacher. Sure I can. I can love God with my whole heart, with my soul, and with my strength, and with my mind. Hallelujah. No, you can't. The law said you should. The law said if you do it, you'll live. What did Jesus say back to him in verse 28? What did he say back to him? And he said to him, You have answered rightly. So what is the interpretation of the Old Testament? What's the reading of it? What's the requirement of it? What's the requirement of the law? What do you got to do to get eternal life if you're going to live your life based on the Old Testament? Verse 27. Watch it now. And again, verse 27, you got to love God with your heart, whole heart. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul. That means you'd have to quit watching Yellowstone. My God. That means I can't watch that football game this afternoon. No, I can't watch that football game this afternoon. Because my heart's paying attention to Tom Brady. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. I like this one here too, man. And with all your strength. And with all your mind. Now, come on now. You know what they found out about us today in this generation? The average young person looks at their cell phone 100 times a day. We fly. By the way, I'm over the fear of flying. Somebody said, what got you over it? Driving 27 hours with pulling a jet ski and going the wrong way in an intersection. That got me over it. I say fly over the whole thing. And let me tell you something else. Man, the technology on these airplanes now. And of course, you know, Jordan sometimes acts like he can't do anything. Get him in a situation where he can watch something on the internet and watch that brain just click all the way in. Yeah, you can take your phone and pair it to something on the American Airlines console, and all of a sudden there's Yellowstone to watch all the way home. So I've hit a chord with Yellowstone, haven't I? I'm going to tell y'all something right now. What I'm sharing with you is foreign to most people. And what I'm sharing with you is, and what I need you to hear, 100 times a day, young people look at their phone. I probably look at it 50. And so we go all the way home, you know, to be with our family, be with our grandchildren, you know, to do the honorable thing, for Teresa to buy something every day on Amazon to put in that new lake house. And we get around in a room together, and you know what all of us are doing? Looking at our phones. My mother predicted it before she died. She said it'll be about the only thing she ever predicted correctly. She said it'll be the ruination of us. That phone's going to be the ruination of us. She said we're no longer going to talk. Now what she meant was nobody's going to come see me and talk to me. But she had it about right, didn't she? I want to share something with y'all. Y'all going to bear with y'all? See where I'm going? Did you know that there was a time in my Christian life as a Bible teacher that I would have took that verse of scripture right there, and I would have thought I had to teach that to y'all and hold y'all to that, and y'all would have left out of here. Now, see, some of us would have left out of here and say, "Well, I'm going to do it." First thing in the morning, I'm going to start tomorrow. Because, I mean, I can't. I'm going to start Tuesday because Alabama and Georgia's playing for the national championship on Monday. But there was a time I would have held people to this standard. And I'd have thought, I'm doing the work of God. And you know what you create by doing that? Disappointed. Listen, disappointed, condemned Christians. Because this was how you got eternal life if you were going to get eternal life through the law. But I got good news. There's more stuff in the back of the book. And I found out the reason why this won't work is not because the law's not good. It's good. How many of you know the law is good? It's good to love your neighbor as yourself. How many of you know it's good to love your neighbor as yourself? How many of you like neighbors that even think like that? I mean, that's a good way to live. It's good. But there's some problem. There's some disconnect when it comes to the law and it comes to loving your neighbor as yourself. And the problem is yourself. We are, by nature, children of wrath. And the only way out from the sin nature is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, folks, there are people that are sitting in church today, Protestant churches today, that are listening to a minister quote to them Luke 10:27, and telling them we need to ask God to help us to do this. And I'm telling you, they're missing the point. I'm telling you that what they need to tell people to do is to recognize that this verse of Scripture, what this verse of Scripture does is it makes you understand without any hesitation how desperately we all need a Savior. Because I can't do this. I can't do it. And I'm going to tell you something else. I've been set free from knowing or thinking that I should be doing it. And people said, does that mean you're just out there living any way you want? No, I want to live a good, honorable, decent life. I want to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm not going to God every morning and telling Him that I did this verse of Scripture. He'd laugh at me. He's laughing at me now. Y'all ready? The answer is Romans 8, verse 1. Y'all see this? You see how we laid this out for you? Romans 8, verse 1. You ready? Got some shouting. Did you wear shouting clothes this morning? Here it is. By the way, how many of you recognize that Romans is after Luke? And I don't want to get too technical on you, but the new Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is actually the fulfillment of the law. And I'm not going to go back and ask all the Bible manufacturers to redo the Old Testament because I tell them to. Be too expensive anyway. But Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is not really the start of the new covenant. It's actually the end of the old covenant. When the Lord Jesus Christ was hanging on that cross, and oh, thank God He did. Thank God that He was made sin. Thank God that He did what I couldn't do. Thank God when the Lord Jesus Christ was hanging on that cross and He uttered those words, "It is finished," He did not mean that salvation was done, because salvation couldn't have been done until He went into the most holy place with His own blood and obtained eternal redemption for us. You know what was finished? That rotten, stinking, miserable law. Wait a minute, you know what? I shouldn't say that. The requirements of the law were finished. The requirements of the law, listen to me. Oh, the South's got it right. The South will rise again. What really happened was the requirements of the law got paid for. You know who paid for them? God Himself. Somebody said, "How do you know these things?" Well, I'm just extra smart. Haven't you figured that out? You know why I know these things? I read the rest of the book. I rightly divided Scripture. And that's why 25 years plus, I've been doing it for 30, well into the 30 year plus, and the reason why I still got the energy and the excitement is because I know that what I know, very few people know. Now, you know, in the real world, you get paid a lot of money for that. You know, you get paid a lot of money to know something a lot of people don't know. But you know, it don't work that way in Christianity. You lose all your friends when you find out you know something they don't know. But I'm not saying these things because I want you to brag on me or I want you to say, "Woo, that's fantastic." I want people to know what I know. That has to stand for something, don't it? Huh? There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. I'm not condemned by Luke 10, 26. Now, listen, by the way, this is fascinating, and I don't want to go too much on this, but did you know that the next part of this verse was added by translators? It was added. You know, the original text only says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Do you know that? True statement. The original manuscripts, what was in there was, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Verse 2. Why is that? For the law, we are under a law. But it's a lot better law than the other law. See? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, listen to this, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Woo! That's a good place for a hallelujah right there. Now why? Why? What did it? Look at verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. Again, see, the law was good. It's good to love your neighbor as yourself. It's good not to commit adultery. It's good not to kill people, especially if you're somebody wants to kill. Huh? Isn't that right? I'm all for it. How many of you know I'm all for the Ten Commandments? Most of them. Amen. I'm for all of them. Nothing wrong with the law. The problem with the law is people that were expected to do it had the wrong nature. Their flesh, sooner or later, would violate the law. And Jesus cleared it up. Jesus made it absolutely, without any hesitation, he put everybody under the need of a Savior when he said, not only are the laws that are written going to hang you, and the laws that you actually do, but it's the laws that you don't do but you want to do that hang you. Did everybody get that? In other words, we're all guilty. Did you get that? Everybody get that? We're all guilty. In other words, for what the law could not do and that it was weak through the flesh, in other words, the flesh was weak, God did. Everybody say, God did. Who did it? Who did it? Now you can stand up and get Pentecostal and wave your wife handkerchiefs. Now you can. Now you say to the minister, God did it. And he ought to say back, yes, sir. Instead, he's up there going, now you need to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. And then they'll act like they're doing it and you're not. They're not doing it either. They take Monday off. So they're not loving God with all their strength. You can't find a preacher on Monday. If you're sick on Monday, you're going to die. I work Sunday. I can't work. Well, I thought you're supposed to love God with all your strength. You can tell why I am so loved by the Ministerial Association. They're going to give me an award this year. No, they're not, and I don't want it. I don't want any award. I want people to tell people the truth. I want people to be set free. I want people to not live in guilt and condemnation, in religious desperation. I want you to be free by the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. And I'm not there. Nobody's 100% there. To be 100%, see, if you got 100% there, the last thing you'd ever worry about is COVID-19. You wouldn't worry about nothing because there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. God's for me. You keep reading Romans chapter 8, you'll get over, don't turn there, I don't have time. You'll find out that if he didn't spare his own son, he'll give you whatever you need, but we don't believe it because we still think he's holding us to the law. That's what the problem is. Because we know in our heart we're not loving him with our whole heart, our whole mind, our whole soul, and our whole strength. But here's the good news. Jesus is. And I'm telling you, And I promise you this, I'm telling you, if you start understanding that, You will not live a bad life. You won't. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. The Word was made flesh. Oh, what a sacrifice. Oh, still with me today. I had a divine encounter in 2021. God came into my area where I study and read and pray a little bit. And I recognized just on a little tiny, just a little degree, I recognized the sacrifice that Jesus made. And I'm telling you, it'll draw you. You don't have to be forced to praise God or bow your knee to God. It made me absolutely. I cried for like 25, 30 minutes. I cried. I woke Teresa up crying. She said, "What's wrong now? The dogs do something to you?" I said, no. Jesus, the creator of the universe, came in the likeness of sinful flesh. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh. Praise God. Oh, that's why every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Oh, that's why there's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. That's why when He went into heaven after He'd been raised from the dead, He was coronated and God decreed that He was God and that He would rule and reign forever. And that's why if you learn this truth and you identify yourself to Jesus and not to the law, and you identify yourself to God's grace, you can be set free from anything bad in this life. Now let me tell you what you won't get set free from, and I don't have time to... I can't read all of it for you. Some of you want me to. But you're going to have to read some of it for yourself. And I'll tell you what you won't get set free from. You won't get set free from persecution or tribulation. It's here. The lease that God gave to Adam, Adam gave to Satan, and that lease is still in force, and he has a right to go about seeking whom he may devour. And it's up to you to resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing who you are in Christ, knowing you're not under the old covenant, you're under the new covenant, knowing that you're a new creature in Christ Jesus, and the God in you is greater than the devil that's in the world. So when we tell you that you can be set free from sickness, you absolutely can. When we tell you can be set free from depression, you absolutely can. When we tell you can be set free from poverty, you absolutely can. But you will not be set free from persecution or tribulation. And I don't care how many times Kenneth Copeland tries to blow COVID-19 away, it ain't going away that way. It goes away through the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, because each individual Christian has to take their authority. I can't take my authority and make it work for you. And I can't take my authority and make it work for the world. Can you say amen? Would you rather me just be up there by Zoom, and that way you wouldn't have to have the spit hit you, Leslie? This is a great... I don't know... We're going to teach on this for a long time. So I'm going to go to Ephesians 2, verse 12, and then we're going to talk some more. Is it making sense? Does it understand? Are you under the law? No. Are you under grace? Did you do it? No, God did it. What do you got to do? Receive what God did. Believe what God did. Live in what God did. Spend some quality time finding out what God did. One of the things that the Lord has called me to do is to also always kind of present the big picture to everybody, because we're on the radio and we're on the internet and we're famous. Amen. I guarantee I've got at least 15 to 20 followers. Praise God. That's a landslide. Now, this verse of scripture, we're going to read these, and then we won't get much further today, but we're going to go we're going to do this for a while. We're going to identify the differences between law and grace. But one of the things that people don't know and they haven't done, not only haven't they rightly divided scripture, but they haven't rightly divided people. See, this Bible gives you the history of mankind. The history of mankind. It tells you mankind's problem. The problem with mankind is he is by nature a sinner. And so you have to understand that the Bible, the Old Testament, was primarily a book that was written to the Jew. I want to go to John 4:22 first. Because this is the other thing that's kind of gotten lost in the translation, because we've become a kind of a church society. This is the conversation that Jesus had with the woman at the well of Samaria. Remember that? Now, Samaritans were half Jew, but they didn't get along. They didn't get along with each other, just like nobody gets along with each other now. Because we're, you know, that's part of the sinful nature. Everybody wants to think they're better than somebody else. Don't shout me down now, just because I'm teaching real good this morning. And so this woman encounters Jesus, and Jesus tells her to go call her husband. And she said, I don't have a husband. And it's the greatest rebuke in the history of rebuking. You know, because he rebukes her, but he's still nice to her. Boy, what a gift. See, I get rebuked, and they're not nice to me about my rebuke. But he rebukes her, but he's still nice about it. He says, go call your husband. She said, I don't have a husband. He says, yeah, that's right. You don't have a husband. You've had five. You know, you've tried at it. And he said, and I guess you gave up on that because the one you have now is not your husband. I like what she said. She said, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. And she said, would you quit meddling in my life? Right? And then she does the other thing. Thing that we all do is a defense mechanism. We start pleading what we believe. And we start arguing doctrine. You know. And she says, you know, we say you worship here and you say we worship there. And he says, woman, you worship what you do not know. Everybody catch this. Catch this, man. This is why the devil hates Jews. This is why anytime you see in politics somebody out to get the Jew, you know they're working for the devil. Don't shout me down and somebody say amen. And the reason is because it was through the Jewish people that the true God actually got introduced. Are you listening to me? You worship what you do not know. See, Muslims worship what they do not know. Buddhists worship what they do not know. Somebody said, are you scared to say that? Sort of. A little bit. Amen. Hare Krishnas. They worship what they don't know. They don't know. That's not God. Allah is not God. The Almighty El Shaddai of the Bible is the living God. And he identified himself through the Jewish people. And that's why the devil hates Jews. And then, of course, he hates Christians, because through the Jewish people, Christianity was birthed. Everybody tracking? Really important. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship. For salvation is of the Jews. What's that mean? That means that through the Jews, the seed of the woman was born. And he went about doing good and kicking the devil in the teeth. And healing all who were oppressed by him. You with me? See that? But see, people don't get that. See, we all think it's a hodgepodge. I keep using this illustration. I don't know if anybody knows about the Travelers Insurance Company and their logo as being under their umbrella. Anybody, but you remember that? Mr. Leon, you got that, right? And see, that's what they think. They think everybody, you get up every day and God's got you under his umbrella. He don't have you under his umbrella unless you're under Jesus. We don't get that. Ministers don't get it. I get it. I know. Somebody said, how come? Because I read the book. I studied the book. I've divided the book. And so, through the Jewish people, Jesus was born. And through Jesus being born, God brings together both the Jew and the Gentile. Now you're ready for Ephesians chapter 2. Are you ready? Now you're ready? Verse 12. Y'all tracking? Everybody tracking? So now, Paul wrote this letter to the church at Ephesus to Gentile people. They're not Jews. Salvation is of the Jews because Jesus came through the Jews. So here's what he tells these people. That at that time, you were without Christ. Who? Everybody that's not a Jew. And Jews too. Now, I'll get to that. But remember, Jesus came through the Jew. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise. Listen to this now. Listen to it. Listen to me. Listen to me by radio and internet. Listen to me. Having no hope and without God in the world. You know what that is, folks? That's wrath. That's wrath. I don't care if you make $1 trillion. I don't care if the company you run is worth $1 trillion. If you don't know Jesus, you're in this world without hope and without God. Y'all tracking? But see, we can't get our mind around that because, you know, we got churches on every corner and synagogues and mosques and all kinds of things. And we think, well, you know, he's got the whole world in his hand. No, he don't. Tear that thing out of your hymnal. Please, God, tear it out of your hymnal. Without Jesus, you're in the world with no hope and without God. And now you can understand why God gets, you know, like I said, you know that verse in Luke we started out with, you know, we're supposed to seek God with our whole heart, mind, soul, strength, and body. You know, just think, if he gets me 10% of that, no wonder whenever he gets that 10%, he says to me, son, keep telling people what you know. You know why? Because if people don't know this stuff, what they don't know will kill them. It's amazing to me how many people don't know that, how we are just, we come to church, we go to a church service, and we don't learn anything. We just experience religious culture. Nobody's changed. Nobody's set free. Nobody's healed. And that's not the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. To the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. And see, I don't care if mentally you think you got everything all right with the man upstairs. I don't care if that's what you think. You don't. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you're in this world without God and without hope. Verse 13. But now, thank God. Oh, thank God. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Here is the marvel. I'm reading it to you now by radio. I'm reading it to you guys in person by radio and internet. You're getting it right now. The story, the plan of redemption right now. Verse 14. For he himself is our peace. Say that with me, everybody. You got to see this. Say it with me. Peace with who? Peace with God. See, he's our peace with God. He's the mediator between God and man. He's our peace with God. Not Luke 10:26. You'll never get peace with God because you think you're serving him with your whole heart, mind, strength, soul, and body. You'll get peace with God when you understand that through Jesus Christ, God made peace with me. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one. Both who? Both the Jew and the Gentile. Brought us all together. Now, listen to me. This is why I love the Lord and the Holy Spirit. Now, when you're in Christ, you are under His umbrella. See, you're under His umbrella. What was that? What was that cartoon where every time a guy moved, it, the dirt or something followed him? Huh? Pigpen. If he moved, the dirt followed him or something. Huh? You know, they took secular TV took Charlie Brown's Christmas off. They won't show it. You know why? They preach the gospel. They don't talk about Santa Claus, old jolly old Saint Nick. But see, everywhere I walk, Jesus walks. Everywhere I go, Jesus goes. And I got to release that by faith. And I got to understand that it's released because of God's grace, not because I deserve it. That's what you'll find out if you'll read this book and highlight it, mark it, and follow along. Open every time He gives you a scripture verse, quote that, look that scripture verse up. There's no sickness or no problem that you can't overcome when you figure that out. Everybody see that? For He Himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. Everybody see that? Verse 15. Here it is. Having abolished in His flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances. Oh, I hope you see it. See, I see it, and I hope you see it a little, because I see it more every time I read it. But all that is, what that you know what that does? That sets you free from Luke 10:26. That sets you free from Luke 10:26. You couldn't love God with your whole heart. You couldn't love God with your whole mind. You couldn't love God with your whole strength. So Jesus did. And then He paid the requirement through His flesh. Having abolished in His flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances. Whew! How many of you are glad you're not under the thou shalt nots? Whew! We got enough of them in our world anyway, don't we? Well, actually, we need more in our world. So as to create in Himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. I got to tell you, folks, I pray that everybody that's here and that's listening, I pray that you'll take the time to listen to this more than one time and read these verses of Scripture. Because I'm telling you, when it hits your spirit, you'll have a running spell. You'll have a running spell of joy knowing that God's at peace with you. He's not mad at you. He loves you. He wants to work His will in your life and in other people's lives through you. Oh, it's so disgusting and it is so ridiculous to see how the church of the Lord Jesus Christ has bowed their knee to COVID-19 and succumbed to all that weakness. Can you imagine Jesus wearing a mask while He's ministering to people? It's pathetic. It is, and nobody will, you know, everybody's going to get mad at me because some good, sincere Christian people died of it, and I hate it. I don't want that to be, but we don't need to be afraid. We need to be the people that we need to be the folks that people come to for help. Instead, we're the first ones in line for the vaccination. It's pitiful. It's pitiful. And it's because we've gotten away from that book. Christianity, religious Christianity, is just a ceremony and ordinances. That's all it is. Ceremonies and ordinances. But I'm telling you, when you find out that you're a new creature in Christ Jesus, you live a life that's not afraid. Amen? Does that make sense? Everybody understand that? I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings, and I don't want to act like that I'm immune from this or anything like that. But let's stand up and fight the good fight of faith about any of this stuff. But you can't tell people what you don't know. Bless their darling hearts and stupid heads. You can't tell people what they don't know. So they don't know any different. So if they're afraid, they're going to make you afraid. Amen. If you got on an airplane with me before I got set free, I'd make you afraid. My God! There it goes. Now I'm like looking out the window, you know. I'm still kind of checking things. When I go in, I always look in there and see if the pilot's sober. And then I'm more nice to than anybody? Airline pilots after a flight and it's landed. I'll stick my head in and say, good job. Another successful journey. Y'all see that? So we're going to come back. We're going to develop this. So he created from the two one new man. And we're going to talk about it. We talked about it in our Bible class on Wednesday. I'm going to talk about what's lacking in the body of Christ and why we're so weak and emaciated when it comes to these things. Because we don't know who we are. We think we're the same old sinner we used to be, and we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. To go about and do God's will. Not to go about and brag. Verse 16, I got to quit. Verse 16. So that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. He buried it. He buried the law. He buried the requirement of it. He buried it. The price was paid for it. You're free to live through the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Verse 17. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. Verse 18. Through him, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Leave that verse up and stand up on our feet. Now let me say this to you. Let me make sure you got a hold of this, because, you know, sometimes I get caught up in the keeping y'all entertained a little. Let me make sure you got a hold of this. See, you can't gain access by one Spirit to the Father by claiming that you've done everything Luke 10:26 said. You gain access by one Spirit to the Father by going into the throne of grace and thanking God that Jesus Christ paid for my sins, rose from the dead for my justification, and now you're my daddy. You're my father. You're my father. If God be for me, who can be against me? I've got access. I've got access by one Spirit to the Father through grace by faith. Y'all see that? We're not going to live our life afraid anymore. We're not going to live our life condemned anymore. We're not going to try to keep the law. We're going to rely on the goodness and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to let Him live through us by grace through faith. And we're not going to think that if we mess up or fail and don't do it exactly right that God turned His back on us. No, 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 no. He that did not spare His own Son, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? If God did for you what He did for you when you were a sinner, how much more will He do what you need now that you're His child? Devil, in the holy and glorious name of Jesus, I speak directly to you and to all demonic powers and forces that are operating. Now, we can't make you go away. We can't make you not be around, but I tell you what we can do. We can resist you, and we can rebuke you, and we can renounce you, and we can say with our mouth, because we believe in our heart, that the God in us is greater than you, and that this sickness and this disease and this poverty and this torment is not something I have to put up with, because Jesus Christ set me free from it. And I'm going to live my life not just to be able to help myself. I'm going to live my life to help others. And I'm going to tell other people the good news of Jesus Christ. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is the church of the firstborn. It's the church where God resides. It's the church where the supernatural ought to be a regular, everyday occurrence. Because we're not doubters, we're believers. And Jesus Christ has set us free from the law of sin and death. And everybody said,
amen.
Now, if you're listening by radio or internet right now, I can't imagine why you're not just, you just can't wait for me to give you the opportunity to get born again. I know you. Some of you's like, shut up and let me get born again. It's real easy. You got to identify that Jesus Christ came in sinful flesh, came in the likeness of sinful flesh. There was no sin in him at all, but he came in the likeness of sinful flesh, and he paid for all of the sins of the whole world, to include yours. And what you got to do is receive that. So say this with me. Say, dear God,
I believe
that Jesus Christ
came in the
flesh and bore and paid for my sins and rose from the dead
for
my justification
by faith.
And as an act of my will,
I receive Jesus
as Savior and Lord.
And so I say with my mouth,
because I believe it,
God,
the Creator of the universe,
is my Father.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
I'm just, you know, I want to take a little time, let that soak in a little bit. Amen. Amen. There's been an adjustment. If you prayed that prayer in a minute, there's been an adjustment on the inside of you, and you've become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Now, the biggest problem you're going to have, first thing you got to do is get your hands on a Bible, read the New Testament, read the Gospel of John a couple of times, and then read Romans through Jude and get them all marked up. And then listen to Spirit-filled, God-called, God-anointed Bible teachers like myself. And listen to these things and get acclimated to the new covenant. Most people are preaching the law, and you got to find a grace preacher that'll get you out from under condemnation and sin and death and sickness and disease and poverty and lack. I mean it. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to know you listened, and we want you to listen more than one time. Lord, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise in the holy and mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.